What's up and welcome to the Pens and Stuff podcast, the podcast that told you Arizona was going to make moves this year. It's the Pens and Stuff podcast. We are so happy you are here. My name's Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I am Abby.
And I told you guys that Arizona was going to be good this year. I told you.
You said
they'd come in fifth. That's not really
well,
good.
It's a lot better than last year. And, I mean, we've seen one game. They looked a lot better. Yes. Is it wild card contention good? I don't know. Probably not. Yeah. But we'll have to see.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in the upcoming segment. But right now, we have to talk about the Penguins, who are 500, which is eerily similar to last year.
Okay.
500 has a nice ring to it.
It's a number we'd like to.
Well, not a nice ring to it, but a ring to it.
1-1-0, 2 points in 2 games. And the truth of the matter is, this conversation would have taken a much different turn had we
recorded
when we were supposed to.
Yeah, we're recording
on Friday.
We're recording October 14th, Saturday, day after normal.
Yep.
Because
2:17 Eastern Standard Time.
Because life happened, and we're now a day late, but it is what it is. But we got to see the Penguins play Washington in Washington last night and totally dominate.
Shut out the Washington Capitals.
Some of us got to see that.
Well, that's true.
I was not watching.
You were not watching.
Deadly.
But
yeah.
Anyways.
So sad.
Thoughts on the game, boys?
Well, let's start with opening night. Let's not start on...
Yeah, let's start with opening night.
Starts on the games.
Night.
That's what I meant.
The
thoughts
games?
On the games.
Yeah. October 10th, Tuesday, in Pittsburgh. Bedard's first game. They made very clear that it was his first game. They let us know that.
Oh, on no uncertain terms.
They did.
Repeatedly.
No. Are you sure it was? I mean, it was Bedard's first game.
The coverage. The coverage on that was a little, lacking.
Yeah,
man.
I never would have known.
Sometimes I forgot Connor Bedard was actually playing in the game.
Yeah, it's like they didn't mention his name every time he touched the ice or something.
I thought it was kind of hilarious that they mic'd up the referee to hear him say, "Hey, welcome to the league, Connor."
Well, I think most. Like, those refs do have mics in order to make calls. They just turned it on.
I know. It just seems...
They just turned it on for that.
It just seems weird that they would do that. When that happened, I kind of thought, that's...
Well, maybe the ref told him beforehand, like, hey, turn my mic on because I'm gonna give this kid a welcome.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool.
I liked it, though.
I thought it was cool
because... Because he talked to Sid, too. He was like, hey, Sid, welcome back. Congratulations to year 19 or whatever it is. Not 19.
It is 19.
18? You're 18 for Sid?
I'm pretty sure it's 19. This is his 19th season. Yeah.
No, he was drafted in 05. This is his 18th season.
05, 06. 6-7.
Because it's the 18th year that Sid and Gino and Letang are all playing together. But I'm pretty sure it's his 18th season. Am I wrong?
I don't know. I just heard that it was his 19th.
This would be his 18th season.
This is his 18th
season.
Okay. Maybe they were talking about Gino. I don't know.
Well, no, it's Gino's also.
Well, because of the lockout.
He played the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm confused.
It was his rookie year, too. It was him and Ovi's and Sid's all rookie year. No, it's not.
Because Ovi won the Calder, but so did Sid.
Sid's never won the Calder.
Didn't he?
No, they played the same year.
Did they really?
Yeah, their rookie year.
No, I mean Gino. Year. I mean Ovi won the Cup and Gino won the Cup, or the Calder. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Not Sid. Because Ovi and Sid came in the same year. Anyway.
Yeah, but they were both drafted the same year. Sid, Ovi, and...
Ovi and
Ovi
Gino.
And Sid. Gino. Ovi just didn't play his first eligible year.
Yes.
Right. So 4-2 loss, Pittsburgh. Started out pretty well.
Yeah. I was excited. It was great.
I mean, I thought the team looked ready to play for the most part in that first period.
Yeah.
They did good things. Second period, more of the same. Honestly, I thought that the first two goals that tied the game were the defense's fault. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, those...
Okay. I wouldn't say defense's fault. I would say the defensive side of the puck,
right.
Not the defense themselves. Right. I thought right. All six defensemen played great games.
I agree. Right.
I agree with that.
And like the forwards who were supposed to be defending. The
forwards, yeah.
Yeah.
The forwards who were supposed to be defending were not defending.
Exactly.
To put it that way.
Yeah.
The penalty kill did not look good in this game either. I mean, they didn't score on the power play at all. But they had such significant offensive zone time, Chicago did, on the power play. Yeah. And the PK just could not get it out of the zone. There were a couple really bad turnovers on the PK. I'm like, if it weren't for Jari bailing us out on those, they most definitely would have scored because you just handed them the puck
right.
in the slot
yeah,
right there.
And I've seen a lot of media members bashing Jari.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of that happening, and I don't fully understand. The go-ahead goal right. was on Jari.
Yes. Agreed. He should have had that.
So I understand that you can say this loss is Jari's fault.
Yeah.
I can see that. But ultimately, if you score on the power play...
Yeah, you were 0-for-2 on the power play also.
On this Chicago's team that's lacking in a lot of areas, and their goaltender is, you know...
Peter Mrazek.
Bottom tier.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He had a great game,
when
though.
When you have a man advantage, he always plays well
yeah.
against the Penguins. But when you have a power play that consists of Letang, Malkin, Gensel, Crosby, and Gerard Raquel, that biscuit should be going in the basket 25-30% of the time.
Agreed.
And obviously agreed. That's unrealistic, but it should be going in that much. It could.
Right. Like, with the amount of talent and skill on that first power play, with Carlson now, like... It should be going in a lot more than it did in that game.
Agreed.
Or at least you should be having a lot more chances than you did in that game on the power play. Because they didn't really right. even yeah, generate play, right. that many chances on the power play.
Right, right.
So
the power right. play maybe, there was maybe one or two great chances.
Yeah. I was yeah. very discouraged.
And we should be having a lot more.
I was very discouraged after this game. I was like, it's the same problems as last year. We can't hold on to a lead. Our penalty kill sucks. We look slow. We look tired. And we didn't the first period and a half, but this mm-hmm. the latter half of the game, we let off the gas because we had a lead. We sat on it, and then we lost because of it.
I had significant amounts of PTSD watching this game from the second to last game of last year. Because it was almost a carbon copy. I mean, the names were different, the numbers were different. But
I was gonna say, besides the over showing of Bedard and
yeah,
over
well, and what
the drilling over Bedard,
the final outcome of the game was exactly the same. And I mean, as far as the Penguins playing well, doing well for 30 minutes. And then letting it go. And so, you know, most of Wednesday and Thursday, I was like, man, is this what this season is going to be? And again, I know that's kind of an overreaction. It's only one game.
Save it for the next segment. Save it.
But with that bad taste that's already in your mouth from last year, you see this yeah. happen and you're just like, oh my gosh, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where you just, it was really frustrating. I mean, in a very large way.
Yeah. Because you would think that with the entire off season, with an entirely new bottom six, basically, like you would think we would be able to overcome a lot of the same obstacles that we had last year. And in my brain, I was like, well, if the same bottom six or the same team or like a different bottom six is having the same problems as the last one did, like, is that a coaching thing?
Right. Maybe it's not a personnel issue.
Right. And that was my thought until last night's game where, I don't know, I feel like it could go either way. Like, it could be the players. Our team is also just really old.
No.
Our team is also just
that's it.
Yeah.
You look at it, Washington and Pittsburgh are the two oldest teams in the league.
But also, but also last night they didn't slow down. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
because Washington played very well in that first period. We were chasing them and it was scary because I'm like, they're going to score and we're going to lose because we looked really bad in the first period of the Washington game. But then something happened and lit a fire and we started going. And it could be because Washington's old as well.
In the first intermission, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that locker room. But after the first intermission, a switch was flipped on this team. Mm-hmm. And they looked different. From the eye test, they just looked like they were, in the first period, they looked like they were getting punched around, pushed around, didn't look like a team that gave a flying fig about... excuse you about anything, but there was a switch flipped where they came out and it was like they were throwing their bodies around. They were playing physical. They were staying on the puck.
Yeah. And that was something we were talking about during the first period. We're like, man, they're not chasing the puck. They're losing it and just giving it up.
Yep.
They're not winning the battles in the corners. They're turning it over and not going after it again. And after the first period, they came out and they were like, they were doing that. They were sticking with the play and chasing the puck and not just giving it to the opposition.
And it changed the course of that game. Obviously.
Yes.
And obviously with the final score being 4-0, they did very well.
Yeah.
They did very well. And I was as frustrated as I was on Tuesday, I was that much more excited about Friday's game. But again,
yeah,
you were playing the second oldest team in the league.
Right. Which is why I think it's two extremes, you know?
Right.
And so if we can land somewhere in the middle of those two games, I'll be happy. Right. You know what I mean?
We're gonna see just how old and tired this team is tonight.
Yeah, because it's the back-to-back in and Calgary. We played such a hard-fought game last night.
Against Calgary.
The boys are going to be gassed.
They are.
Probably. Yeah, we will get to see Ned, though, so that's exciting.
Yeah, we'll see. In one of the, I think, I can't remember which preseason game it was I was watching, and I was like, Ned, just stay in the net. He plays the puck so much. And it freaks me out, to be honest with you. Because Jari does that too, but not quite as often as Nedeljkovic does. And that is one thing that, as a goaltender, he scares me. Because it's just like, man, if you fumble it, you're in really big trouble. Because he just plays it so much. But that could also be really advantageous to a slower, older team to be able to get the pass from the goalie up the ice if he can play it right.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's my two cents on Ned. Love the guy. Don't know if I'm prepared to trust him all that much.
I am. My biscuits are in the basket of Ned Beljevic.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very nice, very nice, very
so,
nice.
So, yeah, that was the Penguins week. I want to ask you guys, as two people who actually watched both games.
Yes.
Oh, what was the question? What was I going to ask?
We don't know.
I don't know. He's never mind.
Himself.
Okay.
Rewind.
That's didn't say that.
All right, so let's talk about our teams, which I know Abby probably has something she wants to say about Dallas.
Always. Actually, so I don't have a ton.
The floor is yours.
I don't have a ton that I want to say about Dallas right now. I watched the end of the second period of their game Thursday night against, who are they even playing?
The Blues.
The Blues. Yeah, that's who they were playing. My brain was like, I can't remember. Yes, the Blues. It was a pretty good game, like a really good game, actually. I'm surprised at how well Binnington was playing on his head. Manns was out of his mind. But Dallas doesn't play again until...
He's always out of his mind.
Dallas doesn't play again until Tuesday, which I think is so silly. All of these like huge gaps for teams at the beginning of the season when they just want to play hockey. Like,
and then the Blackhawks are playing like
Five games.
They're in the first.
They're trying to capitalize on Bedard, but whatever. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and they don't have a home game for the first 2 weeks of the season. It's crazy.
Because everyone wants to see Bedard. And they want to get him around the U.S. and Canada, North America. They want to get him around to all these different arenas so people will come and see him while he's still, you know, new and exciting. And well, before and it's the middle of the season and no one cares.
While Chicago is still relevant.
Right.
Right.
So, anyways, but Dallas, their game was good, very well fought. They're missing Rupe Hintz right now. I can't remember what his injury is. But he got injured during the preseason. So he's out. So Tyler Seguin's playing that first line center role, which is great. I love the depth of Dallas because they can do that. Like, and then they have Matt Duchene as their third line center. And then they have Rope Hintz coming back. So Matt Duchene's probably going to be their fourth line center when they come back, or the third line winger, which is crazy. Or Seguin will be a winger. But like the depth that this Dallas team has, I love it. Jamie Benn scored the only goal for Dallas. But then it said Wyatt Johnston scored a goal too, but apparently that one got called off in the first period. I wasn't watching, but I got the notification and then I looked and the score was still 0-0 and I was like, this is stupid. Why did they they get my hopes up because I love Wyatt Johnston. That would have been a legend, a legendary move for him to score the first goal of the season. But, yep. You know, Jamie Benn's all right too. It went to a shootout. Robertson and Duchene were the 1-2 guys. They both scored their goals in the shootout. Both glove hand on Benner, which was great. But yeah, it was a really good game. Big fan. Excited cool. to watch more Texas hockey. So yeah, it'll be good.
Awesome.
Dallas is my cup favorite. Big fan.
Yeah.
Dallas and Buffalo, like I said last week. That'll probably age so bad. Buffalo's probably going to be like bottom five team this year or something just because I said that, but it's fine.
Yeah, that'll age like cheese.
Oh, yeah. Well, cheese doesn't age as badly good. As like milk.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Toronto played Montreal on Wednesday.
We predicted that game.
That game was off the chain.
We'll talk about your Toronto's goaltending.
Yeah, well, Toronto's goaltending.
5 goals on 24 shots.
Well, yeah, honestly, though, I mean, in many ways, this team can get by, I think, with lackluster goaltending in the regular season, because of the firepower that they have on their team. Through, you know, with Matthews and Nylander and Tavares and Riley and Marner, they're going to be good. But I really want to talk about the first goal that Toronto scored in this game, which was at 7:46 in the second. Noah Gregor, remember that name? He's going to be good. He's going to be a good player. And you are going to, he's going to score quite a number of goals. The goal that he scored against Jake Allen was pretty incredible. I mean, it was a low shot to the glove side, I believe it was. But it was just by his left pad, and he scored it. It was a really nice looking goal. But Austin Matthews had a hat trick in this game, tied the game up with about a minute and 7 seconds left, and then he scored the game winner. Well, I guess Mitch Marner scored the game winner in the shootout.
Matthews scored his 300th goal of his career, I believe. In this game.
Yes, he did. And so, yeah, I think Toronto's going to be a fun team to watch. And I'm going to enjoy watching them, too. So, yeah, good stuff.
I'm going to talk about my Predators for a moment. Thank you very much.
All right, you do that.
I was watching the opening game, right? The opening day game. The very first game of the season.
First the Lightning.
Predators looked really good. I turned it on, and Kucherov had already scored the first one. But then O'Reilly scored, and then Parsonen scored. That's his name. And then Nick Paul tied it up. Then Brandon Hagel took the lead for the Lightning. Took the lead. And then Thomas Novak tied it up again. And then Nick Paul scored again. And I was like, you know what? It's okay. I had a three-leg parlay going on DraftKings with, for the opening day, I had the Predators plus 1.5 goals, which means if they lose 4-3, that still hits, right? Because it's only one goal. And then they gave up the empty netter to Kucherov at the end. It was dead already. But it was still, it was a good game. The Predators played very well. I think Andrew Brunette as a coach is going to do wonders for this team. I think he's a really good coach. I think, you take this, like, you guys all are sleeping on the Predators, right?
Yes.
You guys don't think they're going to be good. The Predators are going to be good. Andrew Brunette knows how to coach, mid-tier guys. Like, you have Ryan O'Reilly, and you have Saros, and you have Yossi, and that's about, those are the big names that you have. And then you got, like, Cody Glass, and, like I said, Parsonen. And you just have guys who play their role and play it well, which is what the Penguins are missing. They're trying to go, you have Colton Sissons and Gustav Nyquist, and, like, you have guys that are good, and Andrew Brunette knows how to coach them, so I think they're going to be good. And then on October 12th, they played my other team, the Seattle Kraken, and they shut them out 3-0. Goals from Sissons, Nyquist, and Parsonen again, and I think this team is going to do things and be good. Will they make noise in the playoffs? No. Will they make the playoffs? I think they will. Go back and listen to the last episode. I think the Predators are going to make the playoffs. But I'm excited to see how the Predators do. And obviously, like we've said, this is early in the season. And so lots of things can happen and lots of things can,
a lot of
teams
stuff can
still
change,
don't know that they're bad. And some teams don't know that they're supposed to be good. Like they're just playing, right? You don't have tape on any of these teams, so you don't know how to defend them. Give right. them like five games in, and teams are gonna like the good teams are gonna start rising to the top, and bad teams are gonna start falling because you know how to play. So,
it is true.
It'll be interesting.
This is true.
But yeah. So, that being said,
yes.
Random crap we want to talk about today. Hit the music. And now it's time for random crap we want to talk about today, and where we're going to play the game, Freak Out or Chill Out. It's a game where we overreact to the first 5 days of the season.
We're very good at that.
We are very good at doing that. I have already overreacted probably 3 or 4 times, so, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fun to overreact.
Let's start. So I'm going to give you guys a team, and you guys are going to say whether it's time to overreact or not overreact. Freak out or chill out on this team. Like, is this who they are? Or is it, time to chill and give them some more time to prove who they are? So let's talk about the Washington Capitals.
Oh, okay.
They're 0-1. They haven't scored a goal yet this season. Is it time to freak out or chill out? Will Ovi break Gretzky's record? Is it time to freak out or chill out on the Washington Capitals? Jim, tell us what we should do.
In my opinion, I think you chill out because, quite frankly, you don't have big enough sample size here yet. And so you look at what is going to happen with the Capitals. Yes, they looked pretty bad against Pittsburgh last night, but at the same time, it was their first game. They'll pull it around. I mean, I went on record at the beginning of the year or during the offseason by saying I don't think Ovi breaks the record this year. I think it'll be a down year for him. I think it'll be a down year for the Capitals. I think what you saw last night against a Penguins team that's even older than they are is probably what you'll see for most of the year. I still think they're going to be kind of in that chase, but the Capitals are who they are, right? I mean, they are who we saw last night, I think. I think that's who we're going to see the rest of the year. So I don't know. I guess freak out? Is that a freak out? I mean, if I were a fan, I'd be freaking out.
I mean, yeah. I think most fans are probably... Well, I think most Washington fans should probably just like accept the fact that your management is only trying to put people around Ovi so that he can break the record.
Yeah, they're not trying to build
a Stanley Cup roster right now. They're just trying to make the most of what Ovi's got and make it exciting for the fans because they know that what they have in prospects and in picks in the future is not great, or what they've had in the past few years in picks and prospects has not been great either. And so they're just making the most of what they have, and then they'll completely burn it down after Ovi retires. So I think it's probably just like a chill out and accept your doom as a fan of Washington would be what I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. But if my point is though, if you were that fan,
You would be freaking out. Well, probably, but like, there's nothing you can do about it. You know what I mean? Like, at least your team isn't expected to do anything great this year.
That's
you know what true. I mean? Dang, like true. Teams that are expected to do something amazing and then don't, i.e. Edmonton, I would be freaking out as an Edmonton fan after an 8-1 loss to Vancouver. That my friends is a freak out moment.
Okay. Well, here's another one. That's where I was going next. The Edmonton Oilers, point differential of -7, losing to a Vancouver team that was not good last year. Is it time to freak out or chill out?
If we are doing like overreactions, which is what this whole thing is, then yes, absolutely freak out. Lose your mind, Edmonton fans, because your top three guys in McDavid and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins did nothing. They did nothing. I have McDavid and Nugent in fantasy, so I know the two of them only each got two shots on goal in that game. I don't know about Leon, but I mean that team, they did not look like the team from last year, obviously. It's the first game of the season, so what are you going to say? But if you're overreacting, yeah, absolutely freak out, Edmonton fans. Absolutely. You have every right to.
Agreed.
100%. 100%. Cool. Okay. Moving on to the Florida Panthers. They had a 1-loss against what team was that they lost to? I'm not sure. Let me look it up here real quick.
The Wild.
Minnesota Wild. Yeah. You outshot them by 20 and did not score a single goal. You were just in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. Is it time to freak out or chill out for the Florida Panthers?
I think you chill out as a Florida Panther fan. Who was in goal for
Gus the Bus?
Okay, yeah, I think Florida's going to win their share of games. Florida's going to do okay. Florida's probably going to be pushing for a playoff spot, if not, you know, be in contention for that division eventually. They got decent goaltending, and that will improve as the year goes on as well. So, if there were like major injuries to that team, then yeah, I'd say freak out. But right now, I just think you chill out, which is what people in Miami do anyway. They just chill.
Just chill. Well, I mean, have Ekblad's out for a while to start the season.
That's true.
If it doesn't improve,
is always out.
Ekblad is always out. Yeah, it's true.
It feels like he's just, he can't get a break.
It's true, because it's not like as a player he's made of glass. He just gets like hit, like the most unfortunate accidents that cause him to be out for long, long periods of time.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
poor guy. All right, one more here. The Winnipeg Jets. You sign Hellebuck, you sign Scheifele to 7-year extensions, which I think is a mistake. Yeah. You're without, I think it's Nikolai Ehlers for a while. And you lose to the Calgary Flames 5-3. Is it time to freak out, or is it just time to chill out? For the Winnipeg Jets.
I would say chill. Abby? I mean, you still have solid like goaltending in Hellebuck, and I mean their offense is pretty good. Like, I feel like it's a very well-rounded team is Winnipeg, and so I think right now, like, I mean, I didn't really watch the Flames game. I'm not entirely sure what went down, but like, when you still have guys like Scheifele and Connor, and you have these guys that can score, you have Morrissey on defense, and you have young guys like Perfetti coming up, like, I wouldn't freak out yet, you know? Yes. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe come like 20 games into the season and they're still doing like this, but I wouldn't freak out yet. I think you just need to chill, wait it out, you know? Yeah, I think I like Winnipeg this year. I like them. They seem like a very well-rounded team, in my opinion. Their defense is a little shaky, maybe, but
their goaltending is a little shaky. I mean, you signed.
You don't like Connor Hellebuck? I think Connor Hellebuck's still a top 7 goalie.
You signed Connor Hellebuck to 7 years.
We're not talking about the future.
The goals
though.
That he let in against Winnipeg or against
Calgary.
Two of them were must saves. One hit him in the pads and trickled in. I don't know if the guy still has, I don't know if he's as elite a goaltender as he used to be. And maybe, I mean, Winnipeg fans, if you're listening and you can write us and tell me I'm all washed up. But what I saw in that game was, I mean, it was weak goaltending. Well, on both sides, Markstrom was weak too, but Markstrom is who we think he is. But mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. I think Winnipeg fans are probably freaking out right about now. And again, like it's one game, but we'll see what happens. I mean, they have a decent core. They have a decent base there in players who can score and play defense, but I mean, I personally think you need better goaltending than what I saw in that first game. So that's just me. Okay. I've been wrong before. That's fine.
And let's take a moment to freak out or chill out on the Pittsburgh Penguins. What are we thinking?
Chill
after these. Chill.
Well, I was freaking out after the first one, but then after the second one, I'm like, okay. I think we'll be all right. Like, I think we'll be okay.
I think the Pens are going to string some pretty impressive wins together. I think you're going to see. I mean, I said this at the beginning of the season. I thought Jari was going to be better than he has been, and he's been an all-star caliber goalie, right? Because he was in the all-star game, but I think. Barring injury, he's gonna take a step forward. I think that defensive core is taking a step forward, even just from the two games that I saw. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's gonna be. I mean, Jari of all the shots he faced in those two games, one goal was his fault.
Yeah.
And it was over 50 shots that he faced in those four or those six periods.
I'll take one mistake over 50 shots any day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's me.
I do not disagree with you.
Good stuff. All right, Abby.
I mean,
freak out or chill out?
Chill, dude. Just chill.
Okay.
Because I think with the extremes that we saw. Well, except the Pittsburgh fans, I feel like, don't do anything but freak out. Like,
no,
they either freak out because they're angry, or they freak out because they're like, fair. Man, this is awesome. But
fair.
They're just not chill fans in general. But I think
they overreact to everything.
I think the next couple games will be telling, like today's game especially will be telling, like, if this team can actually skate with the big guys for, you know, consistent amount of time. But I do think Penn's fans just need to chill out a little bit. And I think, cause like Dad said, Jari's been looking really good, and like the defense specifically has really picked up their game. They were pinching a lot more last night. They were jumping up on plays and making good decisions. And like Erik Karlsson and Ryan Graves, both, I've seen like those in those two games, their decision-making has been on point. Like, I don't know if I've seen like maybe two mistakes from both of them combined. Maybe. I don't even know if I can recall one mistake that I've seen from those two. And so if they made mistakes,
Ryan Graves had one in the Chicago game. The penalty kill.
That would make sense.
I think he was one that turned it over on the penalty kill, but
that's possible. Okay, but
even in
that case, but, like, it wasn't a costly mistake. Like, if that was what happened, like Jari bailed him out, and you know,
yeah, no, it wasn't.
So like, I don't know. I just think our defense is a lot better this year than it was last year. I think the biggest question mark would be like, can they stay consistent? Because that's consistency is what the Penguins have struggled with for the past several years. And like, if they can land somewhere between the Chicago game and the Washington game, somewhere in the middle of the road, closer to the Washington type of Penguins would be great. But if they can land somewhere in the middle and then just stick with that type of game, and just ride it out and just stay level-headed and head down and just do their thing, because we know they're capable of doing it now. Also, if they can just not let tiredness get the best of them, because they are old.
Yeah.
But we shall
see. They are very old.
We shall see. Also,
we shall indeed.
There was a glimpse in that Washington game, because it was the end of a penalty kill for Pittsburgh, and Riley Smith had been on the penalty kill, so they were letting him rest on the bench. But I saw it was Raquel and Malkin and O'Connor on the second line. I'm a big Drew O'Connor gal. He is so versatile. He could slot anywhere. I will talk that guy up.
I agree.
All day long. And he's still fairly young. He's 25, but you know, he's still, I mean, one of the youngest guys on our team. But anyways, I'm a big Drew O'Connor gal, and if we encounter any injuries or anything like that, he's going to be the guy that gets bumped up.
Yep.
Honestly, right now, I would love to see him on that first line with Gensel and Sid. You bump Rusty down to the second line and move Smith to the third. That's scoring on the three lines.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
I wouldn't even be mad. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that was Cue the Music, Random Crap we want to talk about today. And now, let us take a break.
Okie doke.
For a word from our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah. DraftKings Sportsbook. The NFL season is going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even stronger. Bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game this October.
Yeah, Andrew? Myself, I have been dabbling in betting this year, thanks to the 200 free bets from DraftKings Sportsbook. And, you know, this line just moved, so it's gotten even better for me. But I love the Tennessee Titans. It was plus 4.5. The Titans were getting 4.5 points, and now it's 5.5. It's gone up a point for the Titans. So that is a great line for me, and they're in London.
So who are they playing? Who's Tennessee playing?
5. They're playing the Ravens. Tennessee and the Baltimore and London. So ooh, neutral site and getting 5 points for the Titans, or 5.5 points.
Five and a half
points for the Titans. I love it. And I also love the game. The Chargers plus 1.5 against the Dallas Cowboys. I think that will be, those are some great lines, and I personally love what I'm getting there.
Is that game in Dallas or Los Angeles?
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, licensee partner Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Now, back to the show.
All right. So we now have our predictions.
First week.
Great week for Andrew. Great week for Jim. 3-2, both of us.
Yep.
Abby?
Not so good.
Guys, I took a shot and I almost got, like, the Montreal game went to overtime.
Sure did.
I said 3-2, but 6-5 is pretty close to 3-2. So Montreal could have won that game easily.
Could have. But
they
didn't.
They didn't, but I'm just saying.
Prediction wasn't as off the wall. Every time you go to overtime, everyone has a chance to win in overtime. So yes, you're correct.
I know, but I mean, it wasn't a blowout like y'all were making it out to be. It wasn't a blowout. It was close. So my prediction doesn't seem that crazy is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, valid. It's still crazy though, bro.
Bro. It's fine.
Still crazy.
You're being mean.
Bro, it's fine.
You're being mean now. I don't need you to be mean to me.
Yeah, don't be mean.
So what games are we predicting this week?
Okay, so I had texted you guys earlier about with the picture of the games. I changed one since we are recording on Saturday. I changed one.
No.
Yeah, I did. I changed. I changed the Pittsburgh Calgary game. I took that off the board.
And instead, I made money on that game.
Well, good for you. And I instead took Minnesota at Montreal on
Minnesota the 17th.
Minnesota at Montreal.
Why Minnesota Montreal?
Well,
yeah,
because that's why. Okay, so the first game we're picking is Minnesota at Montreal on the 17th at 7 p.m. Do I pick first? Since you and I are tied, or do you still have that lead, or do you still have that right to go first?
It's not a right. It's more of a burden, right? Because you don't want to go first.
Correct.
And
hold on.
I do because we're tied.
Right.
Wait, though.
We're tied.
Isn't it whoever's losing goes first?
That's not how we've done it.
Oh, no.
I thought that last was how we did it before.
Because we always went first. Like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went 2 or 3 years ago. That's how we did it. But last year we switched to whoever's winning. That way, whoever's winning can't just pad their lead and just copy each other.
Okay.
This way, the person who's winning has to do it. So I'll go first because I went first last week and
we're
tied. I think I'll take that.
Okay.
But I'm going to swing with the Wild. I think the Wild are good. I think their goaltending situation with Philip Gustafson, Gus the Bus, as they're calling him, which I love it. Love that name. And Marc-Andre Fleury. I think those two together make a dangerous duo for any team.
Formidable. A formidable duo, definitely.
Formidable team. Montreal, I believe in, but not against Fleury and Gus the Bus.
Gus the Bus.
Or Gus the Bus, whoever starts this game. So I'm going to give the edge to Minnesota. I'm going to say it's a 4-1 win for Minnesota. Which also happened to be the score I chose for Calgary-Pittsburgh. And you just stole that from me.
Okay.
I'm still leaving it there just so I can my prediction was right.
All right, but you won't get any credit for it. That's fine. You can
leave it there. I think I should.
I'm taking Minnesota, but I think they're going to win 5-3. I think Montreal is going to score a few more goals than you believe that they are. But yeah, I like Minnesota in this game. I like their firepower and their goaltending. Abby, who you got?
I think it would be a little bit silly to vote against Minnesota because I think Minnesota's a lot better of a team than Montreal just from the eye test that I've seen so far. However, I'm going to go with Minnesota too because I think they're probably smarter. I was going to say Montreal, but last time I went with Montreal, I didn't get it. I was close. I was so close.
You're so close.
I'll say Minnesota wins 4-2.
All right. Next game is Colorado at Seattle, same night. 3 hours later is the start time of that game at 10 p.m. Eastern. And Andrew, who you got?
Got Seattle 3-2 in overtime.
All right.
I like Seattle. And yes, they've had a slow start, but
yeah.
I think they're gonna kick it in high gear.
I like Colorado in this game. And I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, let me scan back up here. I think this is the first time Andrew and I have picked different teams. So I think Colorado wins this game 6-4 is my prediction.
This is gonna be where someone separates.
This will be the separation game.
Unless we pick differently again and then the other person gets that, then
well, we're yeah, that's true. One. That's true.
Abby, your prediction.
I know. Hang on.
She's having a difficult time figuring out the calculations are happening in her brain.
Yeah, she's trying to figure out who she needs to go with, like who's got a better record. No, remember who won last
week? No, that's not what I'm trying to do. I like in my brain I compare offense defense or offense their offenses. Like I'd say Colorado's offense is better than Seattle's offense, but then defensively Colorado's defense, but then goaltending, I think Seattle has better goaltending than Colorado, which can win you games. So I think Colorado is going to win, though. It's hard to bet against Colorado, man. I'll say...
No, it's not.
I'll say... 4-3.
Okay.
In overtime?
No.
All right. Next game, also on the 17th, Dallas at Vegas. 10:30 p.m. Eastern time start. Andrew, who you got? Dallas versus Vegas. This is the Western Conference final rematch.
Yeah, and quite possibly could be the Western Conference final again.
It quite possibly could. Quite possibly could be the best Western Conference final ever.
Oh, dear.
Quite possibly.
Quite possibly.
But I'm going to go with who I think will be end up in the Western Conference final, not against the other team, but I think it's going to be Dallas. By a score 4-3 in overtime.
I'm picking Vegas. Sorry, Abs.
Ew. See?
I'm picking Vegas.
Pretty more.
I hate Vegas. I can't.
4-1. I think they... Because this game is in Vegas.
It's in the fortress.
It's in the fortress.
Which is all the more reason why Dallas is going to knock their socks off.
Okay.
Dallas does have a lot of days off though, because they played Thursday and then their next game isn't until this game on Tuesday.
Right.
Which I think is so dumb.
NHL, get your crap together.
Ah.
Yeah.
It bothers NHL. Me.
Come on.
Anyhow.
Why do we have every team playing on Saturday?
Not every team is playing.
Like, why is that
it sucks
thing?
For fantasy though. It makes me so mad that they're doing that 16 game thing. Because then in fantasy, all of your players are playing and you have to choose.
Right. Yeah. Deal with it.
I like the days better when I don't have to choose. And it's just like, oh, yeah.
What's your score of this game?
I'm trying to think. See, because.
Okay. I'm sorry. We have four teams that are off today.
Four games today.
It's so
dumb. Yeah. Dallas is one of them that's not playing today. Super.
Wait. Why did they pick a Tuesday to have a 16 game schedule?
Tuesday? No, there wasn't
that
Thursday.
Why is it Tuesday the 24th? It's Tuesday the 24th. 16 games.
No way.
Yeah.
Tuesday? Yeah.
Yeah. Why would they not do a Friday night?
Because they're or the NHL Saturday. And they're dumb.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about this already.
Yeah. It seems like it's a broken record.
Dallas 4-2.
Okay. Next game is the 18th, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Pittsburgh is playing in the Little Caesars Arena at Detroit. Andrew, who you got in this one?
I like Pittsburgh by a score of 5-2.
5-2. I like Pittsburgh 5-3. Abby?
See, this is kind of tough. Because I don't know. Yeah, I like Pittsburgh. Because, yeah, I'm going with Pittsburgh. What? Yeah. Pittsburgh 3-2 OT.
3-2.
Who scores the game winner?
Riley Smith.
Ooh, nice. All right. Last game of the week is on the 19th. This is a Thursday night game, 7 p.m. Eastern in Florida. Toronto visiting the Panthers. Andrew, who you got?
6-5. OT win for the Cats.
Rawr! Why do you keep picking overtime?
I'll never do that again. Because I need to get some of these correct to hammer out the lead.
How many games actually go into overtime, though? Not that many, probably. But
well, let's look at the schedule here already this week.
I think there's been like three or four already this year, but that's it.
Coyotes, like, Devils.
Yes.
And then Blue Stars.
Blue, and then the Montreal game.
Toronto, Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Toronto, Montreal, yep.
And I think that's been it.
And that was it, yeah. But there have been close games, like the Preds-Lightning, right? That was a 5-3 game that could have gone into overtime.
Sure.
The Hurricanes-Sens could have gone into overtime. No, but I'm like, Jets-Flames could have gone into overtime.
But what I'm saying is that they didn't.
Sherlock. I'm picking Toronto in this game 6-3.
Of course you are. See, this is the story, or this is like a matchup of bad defense or bad goaltending, like just bad goaltending on both sides, like just the most mid goaltenders, which is why it's probably gonna be a pretty high scoring game. But since I said that, it'll probably be a 1-0 win for someone. I'm gonna say Toronto. Toronto, and I'm gonna say they're gonna win. 5-3.
All right,
nice.
There we go. All right,
Toronto.
I hate saying Toronto. Oh. Yeah, it makes me sick to my stomach. But.
So here's what we have: Minnesota at Montreal. All three of us picked Minnesota to win. Andrew 4-1, Abby 4-2, Jim 5-3. Colorado at Seattle. Andrew picked Seattle to win 3-2 in overtime. Abby and Jim picked Colorado 4-3 and 6-4, respectively. Dallas at Vegas. Andrew and Abby both picked Dallas. Andrew at 4-3 in overtime. Abby at 4-2. Jim picked Vegas to win 4-1. Pittsburgh at Detroit. Everybody picked Pittsburgh. Andrew has a score of 5-2. Abby has a score of 3-2 in overtime. And Jim has a score of 5-3. And then Toronto at Florida. Andrew picked Florida to win 6-5 in overtime. Abby and Jim both picked Toronto to win 5-3 and 6-3, respectively.
All right. And that's the prediction contest. Again, I'm winning. Jim is second, Abby's third.
We're tied, as we go on here.
But I won last year, so therefore I get I have the tiebreaker, right?
The benefit of the doubt, I suppose.
Like the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? 3-2, first place with no offense.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be there, but they are, you know?
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. If I were you, I would hammer Pittsburgh minus 1.5 against the Flames tonight, but that's just me. I don't know.
That is just you. Don't give betting advice, guys. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him.
I had a $10 free bet, so laid it out there. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. Remember, stay tuned. New episodes every Saturday.
Andrew disappeared.
I died.
Are you okay?
And yeah, I'm good. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow us on Twitter or X. And yeah, until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Abby.
Let's go, Pens.
Let's go, Pens.
Let's freaking go.
Did you not start that until just now?
No, he didn't. It is what it is.
Also, Michigan's winning 52-7.
Holy cow.
Go blue, go blue, go blue!
That's 52 unanswered points.